G'day everyone. Last weekly update before I go away on a bit of travel again, although fortunately this is very domestic travel, and fortunately half of it is holiday travel as well, which is super good news because I kind of feel like I need a bit of a holiday after the year that has been. Anyway, let me jump into talking about the travel because I do have a couple of public workshops coming up. So today is Friday at home here on the Gold Coast. I am driving down to Sydney on Sunday. So for those of you not from Australia, that's about a 9-hour drive sitting on a highway listening to podcasts. If you have any really good suggestions, drop them in the comments or ping me, let me know, because I'm always looking for material. And then when I get down to Sydney, I'm doing NDC in Sydney. Now, I have spoken about NDC many times before. This is the one conference that I do all over the world every time they have them, namely in Sydney, Oslo, and London. And I just keep going back because it is such a fantastic event. Now, I am doing a 2-day workshop in Sydney on Monday and Tuesday. I'm doing my usual hack yourself first thing. So if there are any Aussie friends down there or anyone who would like to make a last minute journey to Australia, we still have some spots there. And while I'm talking about availability of workshops in Australia, the other public one I have coming up is in Melbourne, and I'm just going to check the dates on that. That is in Melbourne for the OWASP APSEC AU event on 7 and 9 September. So just under a month from now. So if anyone wants to come along to either of those events, they are the only ones I have planned in Australia at this point. And then there'll be other stuff in other countries later on that I'll talk about later on when I get to it. So I will be down there for the NDC event. I'm going to be doing a couple of talks again. I'm going to be doing the same talks that I did in Oslo a couple of months ago. I don't think anyone's going to travel and see both of them, so hopefully there won't be too much crossover there. But I am going to be talking about some something cyber stuff, so a bunch of different sort of hands-on practical security things. And I'm also going to be doing my Hack Your Career First talk again. Hack Your Career First? Hack Your Career, I think it was. Anyway, the hacking career thing. That I've mentioned before was a talk that I very, very much enjoyed. If you're not coming to Sydney and you would like to see it, troyhunt.com/recorded talks, you will find it there. So that has been an exceptionally well-received, a surprisingly well-received talk. Surprising because it is a soft skills talk. You don't actually learn hacker stuff. It's more about your career and things. So anyway, I've got to go and do my usual rehearsing and everything, and I've left all of today free to practice both those talks and tweak a couple of little things as well. So they're the talks. Now, last week as well, I mentioned that I had just been over to Alfresco restaurant and installed a whole bunch of Ubiquiti stuff. So I got that installed done, must have been Thursday last week. And then I had to go back over the weekend and tweak a few things as well. We had dramas with the upstream telco. We had a couple of screw things going on. I had to put a little bit more equipment in there as well. I put in another switch because there was sort of a spot there that needed some extra points. Important thing is, though, is that when I did that install and I recorded all the material, I've since gone and finished editing it, and the course is now done. So the course is complete. Ubiquiti have reviewed it. It was 100% positive feedback. I didn't have to change anything, which is a bit of a miracle. So I'm very, very happy about that. And I believe they're going to make it live on Wednesday next week. And obviously, I will share that copiously when they do. It actually worked out longer than expected. It's nearly an hour and a half, and I was aiming for an hour. Main reason is that there's more than half an hour of content in terms of the actual setup. Now, I sort of did the basics very, very quickly, but I wanted to show things like the topology maps and, you know, all the little arrows and things with all the units hanging off it because it just looks cool. And I wanted to do the map where you upload the floor plan and position the points and you see all the RF strength and this sort of stuff. So I did a little bit more than what I probably needed to do, but I just got carried away because I kind of like it. So I did that. I also did some behind the scenes videos. So not part of the course per se, but I walked around with the iPhone and just filmed stuff before and after and kind of explained everything that has been done. So I have already uploaded that to YouTube. I will publish that off my own YouTube channel sometime next week when the course goes out as well. So just in case people want to see what it actually looks like in place. So that is Alfresco and Ubiquiti. That's done. Very, very happy with that. Incidentally, just sort of tangential to the install and the course, I saw some tweets from Ubiquiti yesterday about the security gateway. So this is the device that acts as a firewall and does all your deep packet inspection, etc. Come, I think they said September, so very, very soon. It's going to have an update where you can actually start to restrict host names and protocols on a per network basis as well. So for cases like the restaurant where I've just set this up, we'll be able to go through and say, let's have a guest network, but we want to bar P2P. You know, because we don't want people just coming by and torrenting the whole time. So that'll be cool. We'll have some neat options there for that. And again, it's sort of part of the whole ecosystem of you buy the equipment and it actually gets better over time. Unlike most of the piece of crap Wi-Fi routers I've had, which is like, buy this. Nothing's going to change for a decade. We think it will be okay. All right, so moving on. I want to talk about Pwned Passwords. So I launched Pwned Password last week, and I did not know how popular this would be. I am honestly surprised by it. In retrospect, I shouldn't be surprised given the slant that the media has put on it. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. So just to recap, Pwned Passwords was originally 306 million passwords which have appeared in data breaches. My mindset was, let's make this available for people to download so that they can integrate it into their apps and tell people if they're using a password which has already been in a data breach. And people have done this. It's great. I'll come back to why. So people have done this. They've downloaded a lot of stuff. They've integrated it into their apps. And then whilst I was doing this, very much as an afterthought, I thought, oh, I should put a little web UI there. And the web UI will mean that anybody can go to /passwords on Have I Been Pwned or go to the passwords link and they can click on that and they can enter a password and they can see if it is in this data set. And, you know, like maybe a couple of people use it. I don't know. Might be interesting. So I did that. I have had 1 million visitors to the website in the last week. Now, actually, I will tell you exactly what it is just so people know that I don't sort of fabricate these figures. Looking at my Cloudflare stats. Actually, you know what? I'll do this in reverse because I'm still on this other screen. So I'll drag this over a few monitors. Look at my Cloudflare stats for pwnedpasswords.com, which is the site which is actually serving up the hash sets. I have served 135 terabytes of data in 1 week, which is pretty amazing. I did not expect it was that much. Now, I'm very glad that Cloudflare did help me with that because of the 135 terabytes that has been served to people coming to the site and downloading the hashes, I have only had to serve from my website 178 gigabytes. So there is a cache ratio here of about 99.9% of bytes downloaded from those Pwned passwords have been cached, which is very good because the underlying blob storage that this stuff sits in Azure, it was going to cost me about 66 cents every time someone downloaded the 5 and a bit gigabytes. So call it 60 cents for 5 gigabytes. So what are we looking at there? 10 is 30. It's probably cost me like $5 worth of bandwidth. It could have cost me 1,000 times more than that if I wasn't caching. And I would hate to think of how the discussion would go if I went to my wife and said, hey, we just spent $5,000 so that people could download passwords because it's a good idea. So that was why I wanted to have it on Cloudflare, which makes me very, very happy about that. Now, getting back to those actual stats of users, if I go back to my Have I Been Pwned stats and look at my traffic for the last week, the unique visitors are 990,101 over that 1 week period, which goes from Thursday last week through Wednesday this week, which is pretty much the busiest period because I launched on Thursday. So yeah, nearly 1 million people have come to the website. And the reason why is that it got a huge amount of press because the media all over the world has gone, here's a site you can go and see if your passwords are compromised. Now, I sort of foresaw a little bit of this insofar as when I built the feature where you could search online, I thought, okay, well, some people will come and use it and I better put a caveat. So there is like bold text right above the text box where you can enter the password, which says, do not send any password you actively use to a third party service, even this one! And that obviously what I'm trying to say here is that the principle of someone taking a password that they normally use to authenticate to their things, and remember, most people, there's going to be one, maybe two or three passwords that they use everywhere. Taking that and going and giving it to some untrusted third party, which ironically, when you're reusing passwords, you kind of do all the time anyway, don't you? Be that as it may, going to a third-party service such as this one and just entering a password that could then authenticate you into things, not such a good idea. And yes, it's only a password and it's not an email address as well, but it's just not a practice we want to encourage. And really, my belief with this and the way I positioned it in the blog post was this will allow people to see if a password, which maybe they've used in the past and have since realized it was a bad thing, was in there. But of course, the press picked it up and just like literally hundreds and hundreds of news articles were, go and check your passwords here. So I got a barrage of comments along those lines of, you know, this is a problem. To be honest, most of it was pretty okay. There was a few people going, look, this is, you know, you shouldn't do this. It's irresponsible. And I'm like, there's text right on top of the thing. I've made an absolute explicit point wherever I can that I don't log any of this stuff. I'm not harvesting your passwords. And frankly, even if I was, they're going to be the ones that are in there already because there's 320 million now, but I'll explain why in a moment. So anyway, the funniest thing of all out of this was the Daily Mail, which is a tabloidy style UK newspaper where every time I share anything from there, I get many disparaging remarks from English people. So I assume it's not a highly regarded publication. Anyway, there's a piece on there I'll link to. And the comments, of which there are nearly 400, are epic, where many of them are quite rightly saying, you know, don't go and enter your password into another site. But many of them as well are just like talking about the ways that you will get owned if you use this site. And it's like, look, your children won't get leprosy because you enter the password in here, okay? Look, it's not going to happen. But many of the comments were not too far removed from that level of sophisticated thinking. So I'm going to link to the Daily Mail because, look, this is a Friday. You're probably sitting back trying to relax a little bit. This is entertaining reading. Go and check it out. I updated a few things as well, and I actually made a list because there's quite a few of them here. Now, one of them is last week I said I'm going to do the client-side hash and post, which I've done that. So if you do use that feature and you open up your network tools, you will see that if you enter a plain text password in there, it is hashed client-side. Is a SHA-1 hash, so it's not particularly strong, but it is hash client side, and it is sent in a post request instead of a get request. And the reason why I did both those things, first of all, there is very, very negligible value in doing those things, because as I said, people are searching for passwords that I almost certainly have already. So even if it's a hash, I know what it is and I can reverse it. And second of all, I'm not logging anything anywhere. So whether that password is in the query string or whether that is in a request body makes absolutely no difference. There's a no cache header that's returned with it. It's not going to be cached in the browser or anything like that. But hey, look, it was easy to do and it stops people complaining about it. So I did both those things. I did a couple of updates as well. Now, I did one update, I think it must have been after I did my weekly update video, where I realized that I had a collation problem. No, I did explain it last week because I felt kind of sheepish about it. I remember now. So I had the collation issue and there were another 8 million rather something passwords that went in there, or 14 million. I think it was another 14 million. So that was update one. Some people said, hey, you've got duplicate hashes. And I went, well, this shouldn't be possible. Like there is the potential for a hash collision, but it is extremely unlikely. And people were saying that there are actually quite a few dupes. And what I realized is that part of my import and cleansing process, I had truncated passwords that were longer than 40 characters. Now, fortunately, basically no one uses passwords that are longer than 40 characters, so it doesn't really matter. And the duplicate hashes were not as a result of some people being very diligent with long passwords. Rather, it was as a result of some of the data which I imported having been in a bit of a screwy format, which didn't have the same delimiters, and it meant that I had cases where there's like email address and password and username all as one string, and that's appeared in Pwn Passwords as a password. Now, be that as it may, if you've got the sort of the same screwy string twice, but something after the 40 character limit, there's something a little bit different, it's going to hash down to the same value if I'm truncating. So I went through and did an update 2 where I've released another, I think it was another 400,000 passwords or something very inconsequential, where obviously they're password hashes. But it was a very, very small number in the scheme of things, and it solves the whole issue of you've got duplicate hashes. Or certainly it addresses the fact that I had missed the entropy of some of those hashes. What I will do, because I'm conscious I've now got sort of a version 1, then update 1, update 2, is I will do a version 2 of this. And it will be a clean version generated off a database with the right collation, with nothing truncated. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to add prevalence to it. This is one thing that a lot of people came back with. They said, look, it would be really good if for every one of these hashes, you could say, here's how many times it appears. And then what people could do is they could say, all right, well, I am going to take the 10,000, 1 million, 10 million, like whatever, most common passwords, and I'm going to apply one level of control to those. So, for example, may not use. Okay, no one can use them. And then I'm going to take like the next, say, 10 million. And for those ones, people are just going to get a warning. And then everything after that, we're going to log somewhere that someone has used a password that has appeared in a breach, but we're going to give no visual indicators. Now, that makes a lot of sense to me, to have prevalence. So I'm going to wait till all this dies down a bit. It'll be after I get back from travel as well. And then I will do an update too. I will put it on Cloudflare. Well, I'll put it on the source site and then Cloudflare will aggressively cache it. I will also torrent it. So here's one of the other things I did. Multiple people asked for a torrent. And I'm sort of saying, well, why do you want a torrent? Like Cloudflare has cached it in 115 edge nodes around the world. You're getting it super fast. The download speed people are getting were crazy. Like 5 and a bit gigabytes was just bang, straight down. So what do you get out of a torrent? And a bunch of people sort of had no good answer. Where they went, well, because I like torrents. And I'm going, okay, all right, you got to give me something more than that. Someone did leave me a very well-articulated comment, and they made a very, very valid point, which is that you get a lot of resiliency from torrents. You get a lot of redundancy in terms of being able to pull from multiple sources. Not that that really matters when you've got Cloudflare with all the edge nodes. But particularly the point about, look, I can set it running as a background task on my NAS, and if the connection drops or if anything's corrupted, it will self-resume. And like that made sense. And what I ultimately decided to do is one guy on a .edu address actually had created a couple of torrents that had obviously been socialized quite well. And I said, look, let me put the torrents on the website. So you'll see now there are links for torrents for both the version 1 and update 1. I do have a torrent for version 2. I just haven't updated the UI. You can guess what the path is if you look at the patterns on the other one. So from now on, I will be putting them on Azure Blob Storage with Cloudflare in front. You can get it from 115 edge nodes. Any new stuff like the version 2, I will also be torrenting just so that people have that option. And also, I don't really want to hammer Cloudflare too much, which is part of the reason why I didn't just do like a version 2 file straight away. I have mentioned the 100 plus terabytes that they have served up for free for me. So I don't want to abuse that relationship either. All right, so I think that is all of the password stuff. One more thing, people are building stuff on it, which is really cool. So we are, as of today, we're like 7.5 days in and people have already built lots of things. I've seen people build Android apps. I've seen them build lots of scripts and code, which is on GitHub. I've seen a very good blog post I will link to about using it in Active Directory as well, which a lot of people had asked me about. Another Aussie bloke down here wrote a good post on that. So I'll link to that too. People are actually building useful things. I've seen some really neat mock-ups done by people on Twitter as well. And I'll try and remember to include those. If not, just have a look through my retweet timeline and you'll see those. So thank you very much for people that are using this for precisely what it was intended to be used for. It's very, very early. I don't know that anyone's actually got it in production yet, but I really want to hear about how this goes once you roll it out. Now, let's move on to the thing that, if I'm honest, was kind of a little bit of fun. Which was about, Let me just give you the title. Look, for those who've been looking at my blog the last 12 hours, 24 hours by the time you read this, you would have seen it. The title is Don't Take Security Advice from SEO Experts or Psychics. Now, you probably hear that and go, well, yes, that sounds like good advice. That makes perfect sense. Why would you feel the need to write that, Troy? Well, it's funny you should ask. I was sent a link by a friend of mine day before yesterday. So this was Wednesday, my time. So Sonia sends me over this tweet. She says, when an SEO expert says you don't need an SSL certificate, so you quote Troy Hunt at him. And I was like, all right, it's just another day on the internet. You know, as people get these things wrong. I'm curious to see who this was. So she sent me a link to a video made by a guy called Neil Patel. We're going to say that name a number of times, and you will see why saying Neil Patel is important. Anyway, so Neil Patel writes this or makes this video. It's a very slick production, actually. Makes my videos look kind of boring. But, you know, like it's nicely edited and cropped and he's got a white screen and stuff like that. I've just got race cars and certificates. Anyway, so Neil Patel does this video about needing an SSL certificate, except he says a SSL certificate, which is a bit weird. But anyway, better than me. And he effectively says, look, you don't need it unless it's like a finance site or something like that. And I watched this video and went, all right, well, he's an SEO guy. He's not a security guy. I can understand how you might make this mistake. I will leave a very friendly, constructive comment for Neil. And so I'm in the Facebook and I leave this rather long comment. And as I say in the post, it was sort of very well thought out. I went through multiple times, read it, made sure it was right. And I said, look, you know, there's a lot of reasons here why you do need HTTPS everywhere. So many of the reasons you will know. So as of January, Chrome and Firefox started warning if you have a login or a credit card field served insecurely. You don't want to see a not secure thing on your site. The other one is in October, they're going to start warning if you have any text box on the page served over an insecure connection, at least once you focus and start typing into that box. So if you have a search feature, for example, or an email subscription feature or something like that. So there was that. Now, the other thing here is I mentioned that HTTPS gives you the option of having HTTP 2, which gives you binary streams of files, is good for speed. Now, what else was there here? Look, I basically said it's no longer really a choice. You don't sit down and go, should I or should I not have HTTPS? The only decision is, do I do it now or do I do it later? Because you're going to do it sooner or later. Like, we are going to a secure by default web. I was very polite. I even put a smiley face in there just to kind of make sure that the tone and the sentiment was intended to be friendly, not confronting. I wasn't trying to be a dick. So I was trying to be a nice guy. And I thought, hey, this is good. I'll go about my usual business now. It'll be fine. And then I got up yesterday morning and someone said, you know, he deleted all of the comments that said you actually do need HTTPS. I go, holy shit, really? Like, he actually deleted them? So I've gone and looked at the thing, the Facebook post, and every single comment that said you do actually need HTTPS was gone. Like, mine was gone. Sonia's did a very friendly post again. That was gone. Other people who even said things like, I think Neil had made some comment. I don't know if he said there was a cost to SSL, and I can't go back and check either. I'll explain why in a moment. But anyway, someone had come along and said, look, you can get it for free now from Let's Encrypt. It was like one sentence. He deleted that. He just nuked everything which didn't agree with his stated position. And that is what we call a dick move. Like, that is just not cool. And I kind of say in this blog post, look, if I, as a developer/security guy, go and write something on SEO, you know, like, okay, it's good I'm having a go and maybe I'll learn something while I'm doing this, but I might get stuff wrong. Almost certainly I'll get stuff wrong. And I want to be told and I want to fix it because I don't want people to come and read what I've written and then go away and do the wrong thing. And there were people that had responded to Neil and given him responses like, well, thank you for clarifying that. Thank you for clearing it up. And inevitably the natural conclusion would be that they have now assumed that they don't need this thing and they're going to start getting more warnings on their browser and all the other problems that come with it. So anyway, I was pretty annoyed that he'd deleted it. And I was out having breakfast yesterday morning. I was like, SEO person says you don't need HTTPS. This is familiar. I have heard this before. And then I remembered the psychic who had been reincarnated 17 times. No, really. There is this lady called Maria Johnson. And this blew up. I'm trying to remember the dates now. I think it was like, no, it was early this year because I had a tweet. Here we go. It was in, it was middle of last year. It was June last year. And I tweeted from Amsterdam at the time. She had written this thing about how you didn't need HTTPS for all sorts of just screwy reasons. Things like it'll be more expensive. It sort of negated all the free stuff. Encrypting page will slow your site down. It's kind of the opposite if you've got HTTP2. Will not improve your security that are not entering sensitive information. We've had the integrity and the authenticity discussion. this one's great. Website owners can use firewalls to secure data on pages which do not need encryption. Now, that just doesn't make any sense. Many content management system applications have problem with HTTPS. Apparently, of the 18 languages she speaks, there are still some glitches with some of them. Costs, it's just bizarre stuff. Oh, here's a good one. Remember, your website's visitors use all kinds of browsers and apps on mobiles and smartphones. They are not ready for HTTPS. This was last year. Anywho, so I remembered that. And had it not been for recalling another SEO expert, they're all self-professed as well. I don't know if you've noticed this. Well, both of them rather are self-professed. I don't want to tar every SEO person. And I learned today you can call an SEO person an SEO. Honestly, I did not know this. True fact, many comments to this effect. And a bunch of them sort of popped up, and I would say 90% of them were cool, and they were like, look, we're sorry, this guy does not speak for us. You know, we have other opinions of him, which you can probably go and read on my blog and in the Twitter comments that I won't repeat here. He doesn't speak for us. 10% of them were frankly a little bit unhinged, if I'm honest, just very kind of, I have a feeling that some of them, the unhinged ones, were not actually technical people, but more marketing people who probably didn't understand the mechanics of the technology. But anyway, so old mate Neil Patel has deleted this stuff. And yeah, I did a blog post here, which is a little bit tongue-in-the-cheek. It's a very Friday-style blog post. And I did use the word Neil Patel, I think 21 times, because I made the comment that this may do something for SEO in his name. I don't know. And then when people are looking for things on Neil Patel, I don't know if it works on audio. Best just to be sure. So people are looking for Neil Patel, and maybe they'll land on my blog because there's lots of references about Neil Patel and SEO and optimizing your business and growing your revenue stream. So I wrote this thing, got up this morning, started going through my messages and things, and then noticed that he has now deleted the videos. No messages from Neil Patel. Neil Patel has not contacted me and either left a comment on my blog. As far as I know, I don't think I've gone through my comments. I haven't had any emails or DMs or tweets or things like that. So Neil Patel appears to have now just silently deleted his content, which I guess is a good end result because that sort of impression isn't being put out there anymore. If it was me and I screwed something up that bad, I would probably have at least said something publicly, you know, maybe even kept it there and just put a big note going, here are the mistakes I made. Here's the bits that are still right, because some bits were right. And this is how it is, you know, hey, shit happens. I screwed up. Now here's where we are. Neil Patel doesn't roll that way. Neil Patel just deletes and moves on as best I can tell. Anyway, if you want to have a bit of a laugh, go and have a read of that. Grab popcorn or beer or whatever your favorite thing of relaxing before you read amusing tech things is. Yes. Anyway, I didn't really expect to spend my time on that yesterday, but here we are. All right, so starting to wrap up. Last thing here is I have got Gold Security sponsoring me again this week, sponsoring TroyHunt.com. So big thanks to those guys. They have been on the blog there in the sponsor bar many times before, and I really appreciate them coming back. It has been very, very good weeks for sponsors lately, at least insofar as the amount of traffic has been a much higher prevalence than usual of traffic because of things like the passwords evolved blog post and then the pwned passwords. Even the Neil Patel thing got a lot of traffic. I mentioned Neil Patel, didn't I? So that is that. I will be heading off, as I said, on Sunday. I'll be at NDC all next week. I'll still do this thing. My blogging may be a little bit slower then, maybe even slower the week after because I'm going snowboarding for a week. And yes, Australia does have snow, and you can be sure that you'll be seeing many photos from there, and I may even try and do a weekly update from the top of the mountain as well. So thanks very much for watching, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this update. I'll see you next week.